Well, we pick it up today in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Samuel's mother, Hannah, made a vow to God that if he would open her barren womb and give her a son, that she would commit it, that son, to the Lord and let him stay at the holy temple. And God did, and she's about to take her little boy to the holy temple in verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. The bowls, the flour, and the wine were offerings to God. And Samuel was probably about 3 years old. 25, then they slaughtered a bull, brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. Some mothers cry when they leave their child at school for the first time. It must have been extremely difficult for Hannah to look her little boy in the eye and say goodbye. She is keeping her promise to God. This was God's will. More proof that feelings do not always make a good guide. Chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Hannah is rejoicing. She feels great. No one will ever say she is cursed by God again because she has no child. Feels good to know that you're right with God. It's much better than the temporary pleasures of sin. 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. The Lord is one of a kind. He is perfect in every way. No wonder he's called a rock. If you hang on to God, if you cling to him, you will have stability. Even when circumstances suggest that you should not have stability, he's a rock. It's the kind of God we have. She continues in verse 3, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." People who brag are in reality playing judge and giving themselves a very good grade. But God is the judge, because he's the only one who knows everything, including motives. God alone is qualified to judge, because he knows what is seen and what is unseen. 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. The strength of the mighty can fail, and weak people can prevail. Underdogs can win. Nothing matters more than being on God's side. Take the moral high ground, and you will be better off in the long run, because you will be on God's side, and God never loses. David was an underdog when he went up against Goliath, but he was on God's side. So the underdog won. The strength of the mighty failed. The weakling prevailed. Just get on God's side. See what happens. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. Bad happened to the one who had it good, and good has happened to the one who had it bad. And in this case, it was because the one who used to have it good picked on the one who used to have it bad. And this is an illustration of how God is just and of how God eventually makes everything right. It's just a little sample of what he will one day do completely. 6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. How can God kill? How can God make alive? Because God owns life. He owns it. He alone gives it. And he can therefore take it away. And if he chooses to, give it back. Until someone can give life, which no one but God can do, they should not take it of their own volition, whether it be killing someone else or suicide. 7. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Someone says, I have it well. I have it really good because I work hard. Well, that may be true. Probably is true. Most cases it is true, I'm sure. However, God still made it happen. Success comes from God. And he can stop it from happening as well. Verse 8. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. It's just a poetic way of saying God holds the world in place. It is God who keeps the earth from spinning out of control. I know. It's inertia. But who invented the law of inertia? And who gave the earth a little push to begin with? It is God who keeps the earth spinning. It is God who keeps us on our orbit, keeps us from smashing into Mars. 9. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. God may use a person's strength to help that person be successful. But strength is not the issue. God is. God can make a person's strength useless, and he can cause a weak person to prevail. 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. God takes a lot of abuse from sinners, but no one should mistake his patience for weakness. He will let loose with a flurry of punches that will leave his enemies looking like scattered debris, like a box of Tinker Toys that has been dumped upside down. Some of you don't know what Tinker Toys are. 11. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Little Samuel was just a toddler when he started serving God. Almighty God and the Word of God and worship was normal to Samuel. And that is how every Christian parent should raise their child. 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. The sons of the high priest were ministers by profession, but they didn't know the Lord. They went through the motions of ministry, but they had no relationship with God. 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Priests were to be paid for their work with a portion of the sacrifice which was given to God. But the rightful portion was not enough for these two sons of Eli, these crooks. They used strong arm tactics to take even more than what God said they had coming. 15. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." Animal fat was symbolic of health and blessing. It was considered the richest and the best part of the animal, and of course, fat is where the flavor is. Meat would be flavorless if it wasn't for fat. And that's why the fat was always given to God by law. He received the best. But these rebel priests demanded God's portion for themselves. Was there no end to their arrogance and their selfishness? 16. And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would answer them, "No, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force." If worshipers wanted to do the correct thing, follow the law of God as pertains to their sacrifices, the priests threatened to use force against them. Those who should have been spiritual leaders were being rebuked by those who wanted to worship God the correct way. That is a frightful thing for any minister, spiritual leader, to be like. 17. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Oh, man. The corruption of the priests was leading God's people astray. When church leaders do not teach against sin or call it what it is, good people have no place to go. And you know what happens? Oftentimes, it drives them further from God.